in the water park series, Making a Splash in God's Kingdom. And when you go to the water park, you have these rules, right? No running, no horseplay, no food or drink in the water. Babies must wear swim diapers, those rules. They make life better for individuals. If you run, you could fall and hurt yourself, slip and hurt yourself. It makes life better for others. Keith had this thing when we'd go to water parks, the big wave pools, when they would, you know, sound the horn and the big waves would come, and I'd run like crazy back to the lawn chair, and they'd get as close to the big waves as they could. And when the big wave would come, when she was little, he'd toss her into it until the lifeguard would whistle. Because evidently there's a problem with a 50-pound child being hurled at all the other swimmers in a wave pool. And life is better for society at large. No one wants to swim in a pool that the kid's not wearing a swim diaper. We were at Heaton Lake, their little kid pool, one day. And a little kid, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this word in a sanctuary, but I'm going to anyway. Little kid didn't have a swim diaper on, and he pooped in the water. And the whole thing was shut down the rest of the afternoon. Like, it was just ruined for all of us. We had to go home. So that's what rules are for. Make life better for individuals, life better for others, life better for society at large. I don't know how many of you have this situation at your home, but we have in our house, in our neighborhood, a guy that lives two doors down who works in one of the factories. And he leaves the house at 6 o'clock in the morning, and he puts his dog out in a kennel, and the dog stops barking. I am not exaggerating. The dog stops barking at 3:30 when he gets home. So 6 o'clock every morning, that's what I'm awakened to. It doesn't matter how late I've worked. I don't think there's any need for that. There's a rule against that. There's a good reason. God had brought the people out of Egypt, and so he sends Moses to go get the law. These rules for living. And these are not rules. These Ten Commandments are not rules to make us obedient slaves. We will obey. Zombies don't do that, do they? Zombies go, but more to help us, to teach us, to keep us in a covenant relationship with him. Covenant is different than contractual. Covenant means nothing can break it. Nothing can break it. God wants a covenant relationship with us, and this is nothing new. The Ten Commandments, the rules that he gave the people of Israel when they came out of Egypt, were just reminders of the promises he had already made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so Moses went up to God on the mountain, and God covered himself with a cloud because he wanted the people to hear his voice. He wanted to make clear to the people that these words that Moses was going to bring on the tablets were from him, not something Moses had made up. And this is from Exodus the 19th chapter. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said this. This is what you are to say the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and now I carry you on eagle's wings and brought you to me. And if you will obey me fully and keep my covenant, the covenant relationship with him, then out of all the nations, before and after, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. And the people, 2-something million of them, all responded together. We will do everything the Lord has said. The people said, we will do everything the Lord has said. So Moses brought their answer back to God. Moses goes back to God and says, hey, God, the people have agreed to this covenant relationship with you. They said, yes, we will obey. And God says, that's great. Now here's how you do it. Ten Commandments, which I had on my paper. One moment, please. There they are. Okay, Ten Commandments. One, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. One, you shall have no other gods before me. Two, you shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth, beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. So one, no other gods before me. Two, no idols. Three, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will hold anyone guiltless who misuses my name. Our youth, any youth that encounters me have heard this. When they say, oh my God, I always respond with, I don't want to hear it unless you're praying. I say that to adults too, by the way. Four, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son nor your daughter nor your husband who's chopping down a tree, nor your manservant nor your maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor the Sabbath. Five, honor your father and mother. Six, you shall not murder. Seven, you shall not commit adultery. Eight, you shall not steal. Nine, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Don't be gossiping, folks. 10, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, his brand new black Cadillac Escalade, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Now, look what happened there. The two longest ones, the two that he focused on the most, the two commandments that were not just one-line commandments are the two that are the hardest to follow. The first one is no idols. Any of you got an idol? Things that you look to and that you strive for and that you want. Words with friends. Things that take your time away from other relationships. Facebook, you said? Yeah, you fasted that this year, didn't you? And the other one is, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. How good are y'all at Sabbathing? I work on Sundays. I don't Sabbath on Sundays. But I have Friday set aside as my Sabbath. How many of you have been with me working on Fridays recently? Those are the most important because those are two of the ones that help you with your relationship with God. The first four commandments, it makes me crazy, man, that my laptop was broken. First four, no gods before me, no idols. Don't misuse the name of the Lord your God and remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Those first four are about your relationship with God. Those first four, if you obey them, your relationship with God will be good. The last six are about your relationship with other people. Honor your mother and father. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not gossip against your neighbor. You shall not covet. So the first four are about relationship with God. Second, last six, relationship with each other. It's all about relationship. It's about a covenant relationship. Ronald Reagan, commenting on the Bible, said, I wonder at times what the Ten Commandments would look like if Moses had run them through the U.S. Congress. Check this out. The Gettysburg Address, 286 words. The Declaration of Independence, 1,300 words. The United States government regulation on the sales of cabbage. 26,911 words. The Lord's Prayer, 65 words. And the Ten Commandments, 179 words. 179 words to get his point across. God is pretty good about making his point clear and uncomplicated. But the truth is, these Ten Commandments that we all have known are really a table of contents, because right after the Ten Commandments come the other 619. The 619 are actually all point back to the Ten. They're just more details on specific situations. Situations like, what happens if my neighbor steals my cow? Then you know what to do. These are laws that are rules to live by, and laws that allow your sin to be absolved so that you can be in relationship with God. It's a system of sacrifices and punishments. But it's not to be mean-spirited. If the whole intent was for us to be obedient, God would simply do to us what he did to the Egyptians. I read that in Exodus. You're bad, you're zapped, you're dead. But that's not why he did these. He did these as a means by which to remain in the covenant relationship with him. Rules that make life better for an individual, life better for Israel, life better for the common good. Now, this would be a little bit foreign to the Israelites, because these laws were recited to the whole nation twice a year. That was one of the laws. You must say these laws twice a year. Back in those days, the pagan laws that were in place, especially the laws that exacted capital punishment that would cause you to be executed, the laws were kept secret. The only people that knew all the laws were the kings. And you didn't know you broke a law that was going to get your head cut off until you did whatever it was that you weren't supposed to do. And my guess is these kings, probably a lot of them made them up on the fly. You looked at me funny, off with your head. But what God did then to Israel and to his people is he made his way absolutely perfectly clear. But these rules still had the cause and effect of sin equals death. If you worked on the Sabbath, they put you to death. If you murdered someone, they put you to death. If you committed adultery, they put you to death. If you cursed your mother or father, they put you to death. But then comes Jesus. And some people came up to Jesus, and the Pharisees come to Jesus, and they say, okay, Jesus, we've got 619 laws here. You think you're so hot. What are the two greatest commandments? In the 12th chapter of Mark, Jesus answers this way. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There are no greater commandments than these. Love God, love each other. But wait a minute. Those aren't Ten Commandments. No, they're not on the Ten Commandments. Do I have to go home now? Because this is my speech. The Ten Commandments, plus the 619 others, teach us how to love. And Jesus comes and he brings it all together. He brings it all into focus. Matthew 5 says that Jesus came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. He said, "Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of the pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." The law not only told us what God's standards were, the law also told God's people the lifestyle that would protect them from the dangers of the world. But the old law carried the sting of death. But with Jesus, that was no longer the cause and effect. Instead, through Jesus, the final sacrifice was made. No longer is there any need for us to have blood atonement, because his blood has already taken care of it. And the fulfillment of the law through Jesus Christ comes down to two commandments: love God, love each other. If you love God, it is impossible to put anything else before him. If you love God with all your mind and strength and soul and heart, it is impossible to have an idol. If you love him that much, it is impossible to use his name in a blasphemous way. And if you love the Lord your God that much, you will crave and desire to come into worship on the Sabbath and maintain the Sabbath and keep it holy and use it as your day to reconnect with God. If you love others, if you love your neighbor, yourself, it is impossible to dishonor your mother and father. You can't murder someone. You won't commit adultery. You won't steal. You won't gossip. And you will not envy what other people have. With Jesus, with love, sin no longer leads to death. Through Jesus, this new covenant we're under, this new relationship we have, this new way of love, love God with all your heart and mind and soul and others as yourself, this is the way to life. And not just life after death, but life now. The two commandments allow you to have a full and fulfilled life. The two commandments allows other people to have a full and fulfilled life. And the two commandments give the common good a fulfilled life. A world of love. A world where everyone loves God with everything they are, and loves each other. Can you imagine? The other day, and this isn't the only story, it happened to be the one that landed on my brain that made me, I actually kind of got teary-eyed. It was another ISIS story. You know, the little kids cutting off people's heads. I thought, man, this news the last couple of months, been hate. Nothing but hate. You know, there's a bunch of stuff that's going on. I don't care if you agree with it or not. Leave the hate out of it. Come on, folks. Love. But here's the deal. A lot of those 619 that were first given to God's people, they're a lot easier to follow. I can follow the rules on what to do when the neighbor steals my cow. I don't love the guy down the street lets his dog bark and disturbs my peace all day. I had a thought for a minute, and I promise you it was just a minute. I also assure you I would never do this. But I wondered where I could get some poison to put in a steak. Yeah, Michelle Lau is appalled. I wouldn't do it, but I'm telling you, hate is an easier place to go. But really, It's hard to consistently love God first. It's hard to consistently put Him first in everything you do. And it's really hard to love people who don't see things the way you do. But really, you take the Ten Commandments and you narrow it down to two that weren't originally given: love God, love each other. And it really does just narrow down to one commandment. And that is this: love God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. Love God with everything you have and everything you are. There was a brand new Christian, brand new disciple of Christ, who was struggling with his new conversion. And he heard about an elderly man who, over the course of his lifetime, 70, 80 years, had never lost his first love for Jesus. And so the young man decided to go to him and find out what his secret to maintaining his faith was. The old man was sitting on the porch with his dog, and the young man said, "How is it, sir, that most Christians zealously, all their mind, heart, body, soul, zealously chase after God during the first year or two after they come to know Jesus? But then they fall into this complacent ritual of going to church a couple times a month and Monday through Saturday, living in the world and not looking much different than their neighbors and saying hateful things and not showing love and getting to the point where if someone looks at your lifestyle, they wouldn't even begin to believe that you were a Christian." This young man says, "The old man, I heard you're not like that. I've heard that you have fervently sought after God through all these years. People see something in you that they don't see in most Christians. What makes you different?" And the old man said this: "Let me tell you a story. One day I was here quietly watching the sunset with my dog, and then suddenly a large white rabbit ran across the field right in front of us. And my dog jumped up and took after that big old rabbit, chased him over the hills with a passion, barking and howling and running and causing a big commotion that soon all the other dogs in the area heard the barking and they start running after the other dog. There was something that needed to be chased, and so they started running after the other dogs. And so there's this big pack of dogs barking and howling, running across the creeks, up the embankments, through the thickets, through the thorns. Gradually, however, one by one, the other dogs dropped out of the chase, discouraged by the course, frustrated by the pursuit. And only my dog continued to chase that rabbit. Now, in that story, young man, lies the answer to your question." The young man said, "Sir, I don't understand. What is the connection between a rabbit chase and my quest for God?" And the old man said, "You fail to understand because you fail to ask the obvious question. And that question is, why didn't the other dogs continue the chase?" And the answer to that is, because they didn't see the rabbit. Love God with everything, your heart, soul, mind, body. Desire Him to the depths of your being. Put Him first. Spend time with Him. Get to know Him. Get to know His nature. Strive for perfection of and through His Son Jesus. Enter into that covenant, unbreakable, loving, permanent relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And in doing so, He will be the thing that you see that allows you to pursue Him your entire life. And you will learn to love. love, not like the world sees love, but that agape love, that unconditional love, that way that if you know him, you see everyone, every situation through God's eyes. You will love God, and that allows you to love others. And when you love others, that will allow you to live. Father God, it all comes down to love. And yet that's the hardest thing for us to do. We're born, we're raised, we have opinions and thoughts on the way things should be that may be contrary to others. And so I just ask your Holy Spirit to fill us all today with a sustaining, deep, unconditional love for you and for others. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who showed us how to love and showed us how to live. Amen.